message this morning is titled The Working Saint, or The Serving Saint. You could say The Serving Saint. Hallelujah. I want to share a few points with us on this subject that I think it will be a blessing to us. Number one, every believer is a part of the body of Christ. That is the first thing. We are all a part of the body of Christ. The day we received Jesus into our life, we became a part of the body. That day you are joined to Christ's body. I was joined to Christ's body. We became attached to his body. We became one of the countless parts of the body of Jesus. And so, speaking of the body of Jesus, there are a few things then that we need to remind ourselves of. Number one, the Bible says there is one body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. To 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, in you all. That is to say, as many as there are churches in the world, different denominations of churches, different people of all ages, of all backgrounds, of all different persuasions in life, as long as we are believers and we are true Christians, believe it or not, the Bible says it's just one body. Now, it's really easier and I think maybe practical for us as people to see ourselves as different. You know, you are Presbyterian, I'm Baptist, you are Anglican, I'm this and that. We have all those different designations, but the scripture tells us that every true believer is really a part of one big body of Christ. And so we ought to know that. So I am part of that body, you are part of that body. Now, every believer is one out of the countless parts of the body of Christ. See what Romans chapter 12 verse 5 says. Romans chapter 12 verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So God acknowledges that we are many. But he says, guess what? Even though we are many, we are one body, and individually members of one another. It's kind of like the human body. You know, the scientists tell us that we have 78 organs in the human body, right? So you have the skin, the lungs, the pancreas, the brain, all of them like that, they count up to 78. Although there are 10, they say, the most vital ones, right? You know, your heart, your brain, your skin, your lungs, your kidneys, and all of that. It's about 10 of them, but you have 78 different parts in just one single body. That is the way it is in the body of Christ. Many, but one body. Now, and so if these scriptures are true, then you know what it means? It means that there's no such thing as a solo believer. There's no such thing as an island believer. There is no such thing as a hanging Christian. I'm just kind of hanging around, you know, but I'm not really part of the body. There's no such thing as a floating Christian. Christ does not have bodies. He has one body with many parts, all connected together. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so, I mean, can you imagine the different parts of your body, God forbid, saying, you know, the hand says, I kind of like to hang out from the rest of the body today. That would be terrible, right? You see, so the same way we cannot have a dismembered human body and the body will be alive, Jesus says, I don't have dismembered bodies. He says, you are not the body. You are a member of the
body.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if you are a Christian, you are definitely plugged into the body. Amen.
Amen.
And so each member of the body of Christ then has been given specific gifts or abilities by Christ. That is the next point. Number one, we are one body. Number two, every member of that body has been given gifts or abilities by Christ. That means each of you listening to me, whether in the church now or even later on, we have all been given a spiritual gift as a member of the body. That's what that scripture says. Ephesians chapter 4, again, we're just staying right there. Look at what verse 7 to 8 says. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Let's notice a few words there, a few key words. The first one is each one. Not some of us. Not the male Christians or the female Christians or the elderly Christians or the experienced Christian or the new believers. The scripture says, to each one of us was given a measure of grace according to Christ's gift. Everyone. It's not for pastors or deacons, but each one of us. That means there is no single believer that is left out of the gifts of Christ. Now, the second word is was. It's in the past tense. I don't know if you noticed that. He said, but to each one of us, grace was given. It's not will be given. It's not might be given. It is in the past tense. That means you already have a gift that Jesus gave you as a member of his body, if you are a believer. That's what the word says. If we are a believer, if you are a believer, you already have a spiritual gift that Jesus gave you. And that's it. Because you came into his body. There are other scriptures that also confirm this. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 4 to 7. There are diversities of gifts. This is verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, again, each one for the profit of all. One more verse, verse 11, the same chapter. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to, guess what? Each one individually as he wills. The point is that somebody may say, well, Pastor, I don't think I have a gift. I don't prophesy. I cannot heal anybody. I don't have gift of miracle. I don't have the gift of the word of knowledge. Well, if these verses that I've read are true, it is not true then that somebody doesn't have a gift. It may just be the person is yet to identify it or to develop it, but this scripture says each one. Why? Jesus says, if you are a believer, you are part of my body. There is no part of my body that doesn't have a gift. I mean, what part of your body doesn't have oxygen flowing to there, or blood flowing there? So this is very important. There are lots of people that they just think, well, they don't have anything. Well, it's either we're going to believe their word or we're going to believe the scripture. And the scripture says over and over and over, to each one was given the very day we gave our life to Christ. Even the first believer that believed yesterday, at that moment, a gift was imparted to that person. That's what the scripture says. Amen.
Amen.
And so, now, one might then ask a question here. Why did Jesus give gifts to everybody? You know, to every part of his member. What if maybe some parts don't want any gifts, right? Why not just to the ministers or to the pastors, right? I think that's a good question. And that's going to lead me to the answer will lead me to my third point. Every member of Christ's body is called to service. That is why he has given every part of the body a gift. Every member of Christ's body is called to service. Every Christian, that is, member of the body of Christ, is divinely assigned to a spiritual service unto God. And that is why Jesus has given every gift, everyone gift. Look at that. Ephesians 4 again, you're staying there. This time now, I'm going to read a few verses together so we can now get how it connects. Back to verse 7, all the way to 11. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That is Jesus. Now verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see now how it all connects. He said we are one body. Every part of the body is giving gifts. He now tells us the purpose of the gift is because we are called everyone to service. I want you to notice verse 11. In this verse, it appears there is an identification of two categories in the body of Christ. The ministers of the gospel, right? Apostles, prophets, you know, preachers, teachers, and pastors. And then what is called the saints. So it appears that we have two categories right there. So he says, this verse is actually what is popularly referred to as the fivefold ministry. Right? If you count it, you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, three, pastors, and teachers. So when you hear the fivefold ministry, this is the verse that is referred to. There are spiritual offices that Jesus has ordained some in the body into. So you could say we have the ministers and we have the members or the saints in that sense. We are all members of the body of Christ, but just for easier reference, we can say we have the ministers in the body, we have the members or the saints in the body. All right, good. Now, the question is, how does this verse or these verses compare to our common understanding that people have concerning ministers and saints? Well, most believers have the understanding that goes something like this. Ministers, apostles, prophets, and pastors are the ones called to the work of ministry. And the members are the ones they minister to. That's generally what people understand. Ministers are the ones to perform the work of ministry, and we are the recipients. The saints are the recipients of their ministry. Ministers are the actors. The members are the spectators. Do you see? Ministers are like the players, and they are the one performing. Like, let's say you go and watch a game, and the members are the crowd watching them. But notice this verse says, no, it's not like that. That's not the plan and the intent and design of the body of Christ. These verses tell us that ministers are called and appointed in order to equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of ministry. That is what this verse is telling us. Ministers are the equipper of the saints, that is the members. The saints are the performer of ministry. You could say ministers are the coaches. The members are the players. The word equip there, it means to furnish, to strengthen, to perfect, to provide what is needed. Like a coach will help to impart skills, help to impart knowledge, help to impart, you know, the zest and the zeal into a player. You can do it. This is how you do it. This is how you throw. This is how you move. That's what the coach is doing. That is the word equip here. The Bible says God has ordained in a strategy a portion of his body, the ministers, and says you are set up to equip the rest of the body parts that I have, the saints, so that the saints now can now perform the work of the ministry. The word ministry here actually is from the word, the Greek word diakone, which actually is the word service. So when we think of ministry, it's actually service unto the Lord. See, sometimes the meaning and understanding of certain words gets skewed because of the way we use them. You understand? You know, generally when we're talking about ministry, we're talking about a pastor. Okay, this is my ministry. This is what God has called me to. But the word right here is your service. God is saying they are to equip you, believer, to perform service unto me who saved you and plugged you into my body. They are the coach. You are the player. Do you see? That is why I titled the message, The Serving Saints. The working, the busy, the engaged saint, not the engaged minister. Because in a sense, every saint is a minister, is a server in the body of Christ. That's what this scripture is referring to us. So we look at it that the ministers are to equip, we are to perform. As long as you are a Christian, the main job of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to equip you to do the spiritual work of service that your Lord and Savior has called you to do for him through his body. If you are a believer, you are not a spectator in the body of Christ. If you are a believer, you are not a receiver, just a receiver in the body of Christ. If you are a believer, you are not just an attachment to the body of Christ. Rather, you are called to be an active player in the body. You are called to be a giver of ministry service through the gifts that Jesus has already given you. You are called to be a functioning member of the body. You are called to be a walking saint. That is the design of Christ for every believer. The question is, have you identified your own gifts? That is the question. And if you have identified your own gift, have you been deploying, engaging, and working the gifts unto the Lord? You see, we must ask ourselves, every believer, in what specific ways is my spiritual gift in use for the service of the Lord in the body of Christ? Another way to put it is that, what is the return the gifts of God in my life is yielding to the Savior? What is his return? Because when you make an investment, when you give something, it's to yield you a return. Every believer must yield a return through the gift that has been given to you. You are called by Jesus to be a walking saint, a gift-using member of the body, not a spectating saint at all. I want us to think of it. What part of your body would you like to be non-functional? Well, my right hand, I kind of want it to not do anything. Oh, my left leg, oh, you can just be there. That is the definition of handicap. Whenever one part of one's body ceases to perform its duty, the person becomes handicapped. The Lord says, I don't want a handicapped body. I want all members of my body functioning. Not just the ministers. If you are a believer, you are a member of the Christ's body. And Christ says, are you functioning? So you have a gift. You have a calling. You have a service to perform in that body. Praise the Lord. Now, one might ask again, why must I use my gift? You know, there are people that say, well, what if I don't want to use my gift? I want to share with you at least three reasons why you must use your gift. Number one, because you are saved to serve. Guess what? You were saved. The purpose that God saved you and didn't take you to heaven the moment he saved you is, he said, I'm leaving you there on earth to serve me, to perform service to me. That is number one reason. Now, that same Ephesians, look at chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. Here's what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is, for the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jesus says, you are my workmanship, you are my craft, and I created you for good works. which were already ordained in God, that when you become saved, you will walk in those good works. We were saved to serve. Now, a lot of us know the story of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. What was the recurring phrase over and over and over? Let my people go that they may serve me. We were saved to serve. We were not saved for ourselves just to hang on there and say, well, oh Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord says, no, well, I save you that you may serve me. That is why you have to use your gift. In fact, it becomes criminal when you don't use your gift. Now, okay, let's just use an analogy. Why are you hired on your job?
To serve.
To serve. They're not just going to be sending the paycheck to you every, 2 weeks. You say, well, oh, thank you for hiring me. I think it was I hired me for my good looks, okay? I'll come every day and show you my face. You're out the door. You understand? Now, the point of that analogy is there are people roaming the streets that do not have a place of employment. The reason you are not roaming the street is somebody brought you in and say, we're going to give you a position here to perform a duty. Jesus says, I plugged you into my body to serve. So you can't just go to your work and drink their coffee. I mean, put on their lights, sit on their chair, do everything, and you stay on their payroll. And at the end of the day, and they do audit and everything, there's no service you're earning, there's nothing, no files that you have, nothing. Every believer that is not performing duty unto the Lord is basically receiving the benefit of salvation, providing no service to the Savior. Let my people go that they may serve me. And you know what? After God releases the people by a mighty hand and they got on their way, one of the first demands he made of them was exactly why he sent them out. He told Moses, he said, tell these people to build me a tabernacle. As for their gold, their jewelry, everything, the things I told the Egyptians to give them, tell them to bring them to me and build me a tabernacle. Because I told you, I let you go from the slavery to serve me. One of the first services, build me a tabernacle. They said, yes, sir. There are many souls languishing in hell right now. The reason you and I are not there is the Lord said, I saved you, but I want you to be doing something for me. That is the number one reason we must use our gift. It's not even optional. It's not, well, if I feel comfortable when I have time. No. Number two reason why we must use our gift is it's the only way the body of Christ will grow. Believe it or not. You say, well, God needs me to grow the body. He says, yes. Verse 15 to 16 of the same Ephesians 4. Look at what it says. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, right? We are the body, is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I don't know if you caught that. He says, all the parts of the body, they are joined together. Jesus is the head. But how are they joined together? He says, the body of Christ is joined and knit together by what every joint supply. You are a joint. You are a member of the body. And Jesus says the only way the body holds together is when you release what you supply. The arm is releasing its service. The legs are releasing their service. The heart is pumping its own blood. You know, the lungs are giving the oxygen. The eyes are receiving the light rays for the whole body to see. The nostrils are working. He says when you do that, that's how the whole body fits together and remains together. That means your gift is what holds the body together when you supply the service of your own gift. So when you hide your own gift or you don't supply, the body will suffer. The body of Christ. Now, the thought of men being a reason why the body of Christ is held back is scary. You see, you don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. He says, by the effective working by which every part does its share. What happens? The causes growth of the body for the building of itself. You know what? God says, I need your gift that I gave to you for my body to be grown and to be edified. That is why. The body of Christ does not grow and become edified just because a particular church has a great apostle. No. That apostle will do his own share, but every member is a joint. You are a joint. You are a part. And it says the joint must supply its own share. In fact, when you look at the book of Acts, you realize that as the church was growing, it got to a point in chapter 6, the Bible says the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And they were doing this food distribution to those that needed them. And it started that complaints began to come because the Hellenistic Jews were being left out of the distribution, right? And so they brought the issue to the apostles. Guess what? The apostle says, you know what? It is not right that we leave the word and prayer and we attend to tables. Seek among you men who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint them over this business, so that they will use their wisdom, they will use their Holy Spirit in them, they will use the gifting God has given them of administration to administer service of food to the body of Christ, so that we can pay attention exclusively to the word and to prayer, division of labor. And as those people began to perform their duty and the apostles are not doing that, guess what? The next verse tells us, and the church grew greatly. You know what will have happened? The church will have gone down if Peter was going to the kitchen to know who got food and who doesn't get food. Your gift is needed for the body of Christ to grow. That is the second reason. Let me put it this way. When a believer does not release the gift that God has given them, they are depriving, they are starving the body of Christ of what it needs to grow. They may not know. They may say, well, I mean, I will never starve the body of Christ. I will never, you know, it's like, I will never be like the hand that doesn't move. I will never be the leg that doesn't move. But Jesus says, well, if you don't use that gift, that is the second reason. The church grew tremendously when the apostles were wise enough and said, well, we cannot do this because this is not our calling. And seven people were chosen and they said, yes, we can do this because that's our part of the work in the body of Christ. Number three reason, or the third reason, why you must use your gift. Actually, there is a reward for service. That's exciting. It's like, you know, when whatever day you are being paid, you just look up on your phone and bam, you know, the dollar has come in there. You say, I got paid. There is a reward for serving the Lord. Now, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Look at what Jesus says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. According to his work. Revelation 22, 12. Jesus says, guess what, saints? I am coming, and I have a record. I have your time sheets with me. Service. I have the service, the gift, what it has done. I have the record of it with me. And I'm coming with my package to give you eternally. Do you know that the Bible says not only are we going to just be rewarded when Jesus comes for our service? In fact, We're not just going to be given a blanket reward. Our work will be even tested first. This is not our salvation. Our work will be tested of what quality it is before the reward is handed out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13. Now, let's read it together. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 to 15. This is Paul talking about serving the Lord. He uses himself as an example. He uses Apollos as an example. And of course, referring to all believers. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Each one's work will become clear. Notice the word, each one. That includes your work and mine. Okay? Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Uh-oh. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work. Notice, fire will not test Apostle Paul's work or Pastor Samuel's work. No, every believer's work will be tested by fire. Of what sort, of what type, of what quality it is. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures the fire, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. No paycheck. But he himself will be saved, yet as though or as through fire. What you have used your gift to do in the course of your life as a Christian will be summed together on the day of the Lord and will be passed through fire. It will either stand or be consumed in the fire. The scripture says, if he stands, if the quality stands, Jesus says, give him his reward. It is not the pastor that will reward anybody. He himself will stand in line to get the reward of his work. Because he is a member of the body too. He just happens to be a coach. The apostles will stand in line to get their reward. And the church member will stand in line to get their reward. And Jesus says, we got to test the quality of your work. Not only must we have work, it's got to be a work of quality. That's the design of the Lord for you and for me. So you see that there is a reward actually attached to our service for the Lord. Now, you know, I've seen situations where, you know, maybe you have seen it too. Somebody used to sing in the choir, and then maybe they change the choir leader, and the person says, well, I just don't like her style. You know, I don't like the song she teaches us or something. I quit the choir. And they leave the choir. Now, on the day of reward, and then they just bring their thing out. I said, well, why did you quit the choir? Well, I didn't like when they changed the choir leader. Well, sorry, there's no reward for you. What do you mean there's no reward for me? I said I will reward according to your work. But when we look at the chart here, you thought you were serving the choir leader. You were serving me. You are serving me with your gift. There is a reward. And we know that we are excited at the end of the month or the end of 2 weeks when it's a pay time. Why? Because we know we have worked. We know we have put in our time. The Lord says, I've given you a gift. It's actually to your benefit because I plan to reward you. Therefore, serve me with that gift. Therefore, let your impact be felt as a member of the body. So whether it is a word of knowledge, speak the word of knowledge. Whether it's word of wisdom, speak the word of wisdom. You know, whatever it is, you know, we have... In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the spiritual gifts that are mentioned, you know, the nine spiritual gifts. But in Romans chapter 12, we have other list of gifts that are actually different from the ones in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of help, the gift of, you know, different of mercies, some, they are givers. Whatever gift God has given you, the Lord said, I gave it to you for my body. But I am going to reward individually, not collectively. Praise the Lord. Now, I bring all of this together in one parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the talents. I'm sure you've heard it before. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at this parable. It's going to highlight these three reasons why we must use our gifts. Okay? All right. Are you there? Verse 14, I'm going to read. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Okay, let me pause right there. Just an overview. Jesus says this parable is likened to the kingdom of God. So, the man here that is going to a far country is standing for Jesus. Illustrate Jesus. The servants are us, the believers. Did you catch that the Bible says he gave to each? That brings you to your to the memory of what we said earlier. To each one, grace was given. So this man didn't leave out any servant. He gave each of them a particular amount of talents. Now you say, well, but pastor, wait, they are servants. We are not servants, we are children of God. So how does that apply? Oh, well, the word used for servant here is the word doulos, right? It's actually slaves. In those days, and still in some parts of the world today, the slaves are the personal property of the master. Do you know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for you are bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If you are a believer, guess what? We were slaves of sin. But when Jesus came and paid his blood to buy us, he said, you became my slaves, my doulos. And even though you are my children, you are my slaves because I bought you with my blood. Therefore, take this and go work for me. That's who you are. If you're a believer, you are his doulos. You are his slave. Because he bought you with his blood. So from that story on, it tells you the first reason that we said, why should I use my gift? Because you are saved to serve. This master says, you servants, come, take this, take this. Notice he didn't say, well, would you like to go work for me? I paid the price for you. You are mine. Take 5 and go work. They said, yes, sir. Guess what? When you got saved, Jesus doesn't ask, would you have some time to use a gift? He doesn't ask. He says, take 5 gifts. Go and work for my body. That's number one thing you should observe in that. We are bought with a price. We can't say no. We belong to him. The next thing. So he went on a journey. Far journey. Jesus has left about 2,000 years ago. Verse 10. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents gain. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Reward. The servant became a ruler. Did you notice that? They were servants. The Lord does not use anybody and dump them. He elevated this one from the position of a servant to what? A ruler over how many cities? You see right there. The Lord says, when I give you gifts, I'm not shortchanging you. I'm not being unfair. I'm actually giving you something that will qualify you for reward and for position in my kingdom. The Bible says the man went to receive a kingdom. In another story, he went to receive a kingdom. Jesus went and he says, look, I'm going to build a place. But who are going to dominate and rule there? You. How? Use the gift I gave you. It's for you. So when somebody says, well, I don't have time to use my gift. Jesus said, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Do you see see that? All right, so reward. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought it. And so the Lord said to him, well done. And he says, you are faithful in a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it. Well, what is yours? It's like, well, I kept it nicely. You can take it. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I will have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the, watch this, unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are many believers all over the churches in the world that they are yet to recognize that they are a gifted service rendering member of the body, not just the apostles, the prophets, and the teachers. Do you see right here? You cannot afford to not be in service of the Lord with your gift. It is not optional. Did you notice here that it's the one that has the least that actually refused to work?
Yeah.
You would have thought it's the opposite, right? The one that had 5 said, well, man, I don't have time to use all these 5. But he actually went and multiplied. Whenever you use your gift, it doesn't matter what it is. A lot of times we say, well, I wish I had the gift of miracle. Then I will use it. I will really do a lot of miracles. I will heal a lot of people. God says, well, I've given you according to your ability, according to my decision. That which I've given you, when you use it, it multiplies by giving glory to God. By giving glory to God. When he gives glory to God, that's when he brings dividends to God. But it can never give glory to God if it is tucked away and if it's not used. But then we now see this benevolent master became a furious master when he got to the 3rd one. Now, you see, there is a meaning that is hidden in the response of this 3rd servant. It's as if that servant was saying, you are encroaching into my time. Like, you're not here. I have my business. Why should I be trading with your thing so I can give the reward to you when you come? That's what he's saying. Yeah. It's as if, well, I mean, you are away. I can't invest my time for your business while I could be doing my business. Unfortunately, when we don't use our gift, we may inadvertently be telling the Lord, I am too busy. I got X, Y, Z to do. Right? You know, I will get to it when I have time. But guess what? Because the servant was a property of the master, he forgot that both he and his time and his life was owned by the master. And what did you see? The fact that the master could say, cast him out, means that he forgot the owner of him to start with. Since we have been bought by the blood of Jesus, we don't belong to ourselves. What we're talking about is not even a matter of option. You know, in my language, there is a saying, okay? The saying goes this way. Whoever owns the slave owns the property of the slave. Right? They will say, Enito Leru, no Leru. So whoever owns the individual owns everything. The Lord says, I saved you with my blood. And I'm so gracious, I gave you gifts to go and work for me. Never say, it's not time yet to use the gift. Never say, I am too busy. Never say, I will use it when I choose to. Why? The master says, you are depriving me of the glory that I should be receiving from that gift. And my body is in need of that gift. But also important, there will be nothing to give you when I come. Do you see? You have a gift to use. It's already given. You have a service to perform. The Lord says, get to it. Get to it. You go and find within yourself, if you have not identified your talent, go and identify it quick. If you have identified and you say, well, I kind of know how to do this, but I ain't got time. The Lord says, huh? I own your time. Go and be using it for me, because you are called to serve, saved to serve. Every one of us, even we ministers, we have to be very conscious of this, that we are pretty much just coaches. We must not make the people feel as though they don't have service to perform to God. We must not let the members feel as though we are just doing the service. They just say amen to it. There's no reward for saying amen. You understand? God doesn't reward the receivers. So even as a pastor, I have to encourage you and say, well, you go do your service with your gift. I didn't give you that gift. The Lord gave it to you. You must use it. Because when it comes, it won't add from my reward to yours. And it won't say, well, let me reward you. You are such a good church member. So it's no. He said, I'm going to reward you for what you did for me. So get up and go use your gift. In fact, it should get to a point that nobody can stop you from using your gift. That's what it should be. Flip it. Right? That, look, even pastor cannot stop me from using my gift, because I have learned that each man will be rewarded according to his work. So if somebody wants to discourage you, rather than you saying, well, I'm not doing that anymore for the Lord, he says, you cannot stop me because I'm not doing it for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We must be walking saints, serving saints. There's a reward. Amen. Amen.